How about now? Can you hear me now? All right, I got a thumbs up. Well, if you would grab a Bible and turn to two different places, Matthew chapter 22 and 1 John 3, it should be on the front of your bulletin, or there's a bulletin next to you. We're going to be in two different spots. We're going to land in 1 John here in a little bit, 1 John chapter 3. If you've been with us, we've been walking through our mission and vision statement as a church. I've beat this drum over and over. If there's ever a time we need to be reminded on who we are as a church, what we're supposed to be about, what we're supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to be believing and practicing, these are the things. We walk through our mission and vision. If you're joining us for the first time, we're going to stand in just a minute and read through it just to kind of embrace the awkwardness. But we're going to talk a little bit about love, as Josh said in the children's sermon. And just to kind of let that out of the bag here in just a second, but I was doing some reading, and there's an estimated about 100 million songs. I don't care if you like country, R&B, whatever your genre is. Over 100 million estimated songs that are about love. And you know what's about to happen? Let's just lighten the room up a little bit. You know what's about to happen? It's November, by the way, and Christmas is coming, but it doesn't matter if it's Christmas or not. You know what's about to start coming? Hallmark movies. Okay, I'm not judging, I'm just kidding, I always make fun of Hallmark movies, but you know, Hallmark movies, I don't care what city, it's always beautiful people, there's always a little conflict, a little romance, at the end somebody always, what, they always fall in love. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I know I have a lot of people in my life that love them. You probably watch them, the same ones every year, same actors, it's the same story, just goes and goes and goes. But it's all about is embracing love and people falling in love. But here's the thing, our world is constantly trying to define and show or redefine what love really is. And today we're obviously going to see what Jesus' commands to us about loving the Father and loving others. But I just want us to be reminded today as a church in 2020, what an opportunity we have to love other people, not the way that we choose to, not the way that we would prefer to, not even the people that we like or think like or want to pretend to like, but love people the way that Jesus Christ loves us. So let me just set that table up clean for you, because I want us to stand and let's read our mission and our vision, and we're going to pray and let's see what the Word of God has for us about loving others. But if you would, let's embrace the awkwardness and we'll read this together. Read along with me if you would, please. First Baptist Olton exists to bear witness to the reign and rule of Jesus Christ, being empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring about His kingdom on earth in the hearts and lives of His people, to reach the greater Olton area with the life-changing message of the gospel, making Spirit-led disciples who magnify God in worship, mature through their study of God's Word, minister in love to others, and manifest their life mission in the world. Let's pray together, please. I say it every week, take a deep breath, relax. I don't know what's on your mind or on your heart. Maybe there's things coming up, things in your past, things going on this afternoon. Just take a deep breath. And in your own heart, in your own way, would you just ask the Lord to give you focus, that His Spirit would move, that your heart would be receptive. And if you may be so bold, pray for me that I would speak the words He'd have us today, and that every one of us could leave here different. Father, you've heard your people. And what a joy and what a privilege it is to come and to be in this place, to gather in this building under one roof with brothers and sisters. And I pray that we would give you our very best today. And for the person in the room that's maybe distracted, maybe the person in the room that's got things on their plate, maybe feeling a sense of urgency in other areas that they just got to get back to, I pray that for all of us, myself at the top of the list, that we could continue to give you our very best, that you would help us to be focused in our mindset, in our hearts, and truly put ourselves against the Word of God, as we have already talked about, this inspired, perfect, God-breathed Word that you have for us, and to see what you ask and what you expect of your people when it comes to loving people. And Father, I'm at the top of the list of if it's easy to love people that love me back, and it's easy to love people that I like, and I pray, Father, that you would help us to understand not what our interpretation of it is, but what you truly expect from people who call you Lord and Savior. So, Father, do something great today. May this time be a blessing to us, but above all, may we honor you.
Yes.
And we ask it in the great name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, just to kind of walk you through it, in our mission and vision, as we read it, you've seen it, you kind of can see where we've walked through, what it looks like to bear witness to the reign and rule of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to bring about the kingdom of God, to reach the area, or the greater Olton area, about sharing Jesus. We talked about that, about if Jesus is truly life-changing, have you shared that with anybody? You know, if I come across something, some of us we're more willing to share what we've read in the news or what's going on in the upcoming election rather than sharing what's going on with Jesus. Let's just call a spade a spade. We want to talk more about who to vote for, who to do all these things, but we don't want to talk about Jesus to our neighbor, all these kind of things. And the indictment of my heart, I've been praying and searching all these things, and I just want the Lord to shake us up and remember that if we do not love like the King tells us to, anything else doesn't matter. If we are not embracing and showing the love of Jesus, anything else that we might want to prioritize, I don't care what it is, it's going to fall on deaf ears. Because here's the reality, because we've talked about sharing this life-changing message of the gospel. We talked about making disciples, We talked about magnifying God in worship. We talked about maturing through the study of God's word, this God-breathed, perfect, inspired word of God that we have, that we hold in our laps, that we can put on the screen, that we can read in our homes. That God has given us this to grow and to mature. And today we're going to talk about ministering and love to other people. I said it a couple of times already, and I'll say it again. It's easy to love people who love us back. And in Matthew chapter 22, this is where we're going to start if you have your scriptures with you. This is where we read this. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. Read along with me. Jesus says this. As the Pharisee is going to speak out, "Teacher, which is the greatest of all the commandments of the laws?" Jesus is going to tell him back. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. All law and the prophets hang on these two commands." Now, just real quickly, because we're going to get to 1 John here in just a second. This is powerful. This is Jesus' words, and this Pharisee's trying to trick Jesus, and he's trying to talk to him and say, "Hey, of all the laws, of all the rules, of all the obligations that we have to try to be right with you, what's the best?" And he was trying to trick him, and Jesus comes back, and he kind of slams dunk it, and he refers to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, which says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind." But I love this because if you look at verse 38, and I've missed this several times, Jesus adds his own words. He doesn't just quote Deuteronomy 6. When asked which the greatest commandment is, he says this is the greatest and the foremost of all of them, referring to Deuteronomy 6. But then he continues in verse 39 as opposed to saying, "Hey, but wait, there's some more here." Did you notice in verse 39, he doesn't just answer the question. He also says, now here's the first, but there's also a second. The Pharisees might have been thinking, "Hey, Jesus, we only asked for one." But then he tells them, "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." And I wonder sometimes if these Pharisees who were about following the rules, they didn't love people, they loved themselves, they were proud, they loved to try to be the ones doing the right things. And when Jesus kind of comes back at them and says, "Love your God," and they're probably thinking, "We've done all this, we're keeping all the rules." And then he says, "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." I wonder if there was some silence in the room. And in verse 40, Jesus tells them everything from the Old Testament, all of this depends on these two things. The commands to love God, the commands to love your neighbor. It is a profound statement from our King. And in short, if you wanted to minimize what he's saying, is that in all of redemptive history, all of the beauty of all the history of mankind being redeemed and reconciled back to God, it boils down to loving him and manifesting that love to other people. And so Jesus, in this text, he reminds these law-driven Pharisees, he says, to love God and to love your neighbor. And love, as we're going to see, it's what separates us. And this will be on the screen. Don't turn there, but just look at this. This is something that's profound, and it's going to kind of weave its way through the sermon today. In John chapter 13, Jesus says this, a new command I give you. He's talking to his disciples. He had just washed their feet. He just revealed that Judas is going to betray him. He just unpacked that Peter's going to deny him. And having some parting words with his closest followers, he gives this statement, this new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. But look at verse 35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Did you picture the scene here? Because we're going to get to 1 John in just a second. Did you picture the scene in John chapter 13? He washes their feet. He says, Judas is going to betray me. Peter's going to deny me. He says, as I've loved you, love others. And he says, catch this. This is how, verse 35, this is how people are going to know you. Now look at me this morning. If you call Jesus your Lord and Savior, I've been wrestling with this all week. When people look at your life, how you work, how you raise your kids, how you talk, private conversations that you have with other people, when people see your life, are they looking at you and going, that is a follower of Jesus? Because to me, this is where I get totally convicted by this, because Jesus is not playing. He's saying, yes, this commandment to love people, but he says, this is how Alton, this is how our community, your classmates, your coworkers, they're going to know if you know me or not. Because in 1 John, it's about to unpack a really bold statement, and he's going to talk about how we can know we've been brought from death to life by how we love people. And Christian love is not just words. Christian love is action. We can go over and over this. I've talked to you before, if I tell my wife I love her, but I treat her like garbage, I don't really love her. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that God demonstrates his love for us that while we were still sinners, please don't yawn at this, while we were still sinners, he died for us. And now you can flip to 1 John 3, because I want you to catch this, because we're going to walk through a text here. He's going to unpack what we don't need to do, what we do need to do, and how we truly need to love people. 1 John chapter 3. Let's look at verse 11. I got a lot to unpack here, so bear with me. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Now let me unpack this. John traces back to Genesis chapter 4, and he says, hey, let's not be like Cain. Don't be that way. And we know the account. Adam and Eve, first people in history, they had kids. Adam and Eve had kids. All this thing goes on. They had two sons, Cain and Abel, and you know the story. They had another one named Seth, but he doesn't get as much airtime. But we see in Genesis chapter 5 that things begin to go wrong, and the first two descendants of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, they had a problem. And what John is telling us is don't be like Cain. He belonged to the evil one. He was a farmer. Abel was a herdsman. They both offered sacrifices to God, but God rejected Cain's. It infuriated him. It probably driven to a deeper resentment towards his brother, and he killed him. In this story of Cain, it's the first we see in the establishment of society that shows this flow of sin into human history. The first crime, the first opportunity for vengeance, the first matter of taking it into your own hands, the first expression of hypocrisy, this first expression of self-righteousness and bitterness and anger. And John says, don't be like that. And in verse 13, he says, don't be surprised, brothers, if the world's going to hate you. That echoes Jesus' words in John 15. He says, hey, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. And I think about this, and this has jumped off the pages at me, because we live in a world where it's very easy to be attacking of others and to not love and to be vengeful and those kind of things. And I think it's very poignant here for John to tell us, don't be like that. Don't let things in this life cultivate such anger and bitterness. And though you may not specifically actively kill somebody, but you would want to kill them with your words and your actions, don't do that. But look at 14 and 15. And I need you to hear this. And When John says we know that we've been brought from death to life if we love our brothers, do you hear the tone change here in verse 14? Because anybody who doesn't love, they remain in death. Anybody who hates his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer has eternal life. The tone change from John here, please catch this, church. If we don't love, if we don't live a life of love, and we just want to tell people we love them, but treat them like garbage and talk about them and undercut them and backbite them, and nothing of our life resembles this love of Jesus, John says, you've not been brought from death to life, and it echoes Ephesians 2. About a dozen times in the last couple of months, I said, when we get saved and we give our life to Jesus, we're not made from bad to good. We're brought from death to life. And John says, one of the hallmarks, hear this, church, one of the hallmarks of your life to reveal that you have been born again, that's kind of cliche, we talk about that, been born again, brought from death to life, is how you treat people. And what John is saying, church, in Olton, Texas, is that if we're not loving people, then maybe you're not brought from death to life. And what John is saying, if you harbor consistent anger and hatred and bitterness and discord, then you've not tasted, this is what John says, don't kill the messenger, you've not tasted life in Christ. Because if we read the pages of Scripture, and if it's really true, like we've talked about last week, if it's really God's word that is breathed out for us to know, then we got to take this for what it's worth. Jesus isn't playing, John's not playing around. If you've tasted the goodness of Jesus, you love people. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I've already said it today, that 2020 is going to give us plenty of opportunities to love people and not just people that we like. For Christ followers, as image bearers of Jesus, not yourself, if you bear the image of Jesus, we have an opportunity to go against the grain of culture in a world that wants to devour people and love people, even if we don't agree with them. We got an election coming up, and I pray that you would test yourself, test the Spirit, test the Word, test your candidate, test their platform, get engaged if you want to do it, but please do not forsake the Bible and the calling on your life as a Christ follower and not love people, even if they disagree with you on something. Can I say that again? You can disagree on something, and I'll tell you a little story. I have a friend of mine that doesn't live in Olton, but here, we had to discuss about policy. This was the last election. We had a discussion about policy, and we were talking about these things of whatever, something, disagreements, whatever, and this dialogue began to happen. This is a buddy. This is somebody, I mean, not in Olton. This is somebody that's a buddy. And basically, on this certain issue, we kind of talked about it, and I was told to my face, if we don't agree on this issue, I was literally told to my face, I can't be your friend anymore. I was like, what? I thought, we're like buds, I thought. He said, no, if you don't agree with me on this issue, I can't be your friend. I don't think I can even be around you anymore. I was like, I thought we were buds. And just like that, relationships severed. Just like that, people begin to stand on other platforms and they say, it's not about loving and treating other people with kindness and love and gratitude. If you don't agree with me, you're dead to me. Now, okay, let me just diffuse this. Take politics out of it. It doesn't matter what it is. We live in a world that if you're not with me, you are against me. So it's easy to love people that agree with us and like us and want to kind of be in the same direction as us. But I want to share a quote with you. There's an author named Bob Goff. He wrote a book called Everybody Always. Love Does, a lot of different things. And he has a chapter in his book. Ready for this? It's called Creepy People. I like how he writes because it's kind of catchy. It's a great book if you want to read stories about how he learned to love difficult people and these things. And listen to what he says. This really spoke to me. I hope it speaks to you. If it doesn't, just pretend like it does. He says this. He says, it's easy to love kind, lovely, humble people. I mean, who wouldn't? These are the ones I've spent most of my life loving. Loving the people who are easy to love made me feel like I was really good at it. Because the people I loved were kind and wonderful, they made sure that they told me I did a great job and I was loving them. What I've come to realize, hear this, what I've come to realize, though, is that I was avoiding the people I didn't understand and the ones who lived differently than me. Here's why. I love it. Some of them creeped me out. I just think it's funny. Some of them creeped me out. It says, sure, I was polite to them, But sadly, I spent my whole life avoiding the people Jesus spent his whole life engaging. God's idea isn't that we would just give and receive love, but that we would actually become love. People who are becoming love see the beauty in others, even when their off-putting behavior makes for a pretty weird mask. What Jesus told his friends, and he summed up this way, he was to love everybody, always, and start with those that creep us out. The truth is, we probably creep them out just as much as they do. I love that. I think that's funny. The reason I love that is because it's convicting, but it's so poignant and it's so true. The part that really jumps out at me is sometimes we want to avoid people that we disagree with. We want to avoid our whole life the people that Jesus engaged, the people that Jesus went after. And we can fill in the gaps for what creeps us out, but nonetheless, Jesus loved sacrificially despite the creepiness. God showed his love to us. He demonstrates his love for us, and we should do the same. Look at verse 16, back to 1 John chapter 3. Listen to what he says. Back to the text. John says, hey, this is what not to do. Now he's going to go a little deeper on what love is in Christ, and he's going to detail our understanding of how we are to extend this love to other people. Look at verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us, that we might lay our lives down for other people. You see, let's stop there. Some of us will struggle with this love of Jesus, because even for me, sometimes I feel like I've got to do more to get right. This sacrificial love for Jesus, it just kind of doesn't always resonate well. I feel like I need to do more. I need to try to say I'm a good person. And I put in my notes here, I have a story from a long time ago where there was a pastor that kept talking to his church, and people kept responding and said, hey, pastor, yeah, but I'm a good person. And he says, no, you're not a good person. You're loved. God loves you despite the fact that you're not just a good person. We are not born good people. We are born sinners in a world that so desperately needs Jesus. So we need to be reminded that we are loved, that Jesus Christ laid his life down for us. Our world is full of people who are giving themselves up sexually, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, whatever other lee you want to say. They're constantly trying to find something to affirm love in their lives. And if we can look at verse 16 and say, we know that we are loved because of what Jesus has done for us, we're not going to go out and try to find it in other places. But like I said, it's easy to love people who love us back. It's easy to love people who agree like us and want to do things like us and that we're on the same page on all these issues and life choices and all these things. But verse 17 gets a little bit more specific on how we can show that love. John's going to use the example of some financial things, of seeing a need, but the need is going further than just that. But look at the example he gives us. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action. True love, Jesus' love, is not just verbal. It is not just lip service. It is an action-oriented love. And then in verse 19 and 20, this is how we know we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence when our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. I love 19 and 20. It's kind of unique. If you've ever struggled with your failures, or you start to begin to condemn yourself and you start thinking, man, I'm a failure, I'm this, I'm that, and we begin to compare ourselves with people and we do all these things. I love 19 to 20 because what John is telling us is that God knows our hearts, and even when our hearts begin to crash in on us and condemn us, that God knows our hearts. Love is greater than our hearts, and he can know our motives and our desires even under the surface. And verse 20 says, our hearts can be at rest in his presence, and our hearts don't condemn us. We rest in our God because he knows our motives and our desires. Now, that works with a double-edged sword, because he also knows when we try to do things with the wrong motives. And he can draw those things from the darkness into the light. We're trying to just do things we don't really mean. You see, we don't beat our chest and we don't walk around and talk about our awesomeness and those kind of things, but we find peace, that we can find solace, that even in our struggles, even in our failures, that we can know that we belong to him. We belong to Jesus. Amen. Look at verse 21. difference. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God that we receive anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. Listen to this. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Here it comes. And to love one another just as He commanded us to. Those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. What I love about the last part of that text, this is how we know, church. This is how we know that we love people. And we know it by the Spirit. And we've talked about what it looks like to be followers of Jesus, to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit. And outside of the Spirit of God working and moving us, we cannot love people. We cannot be the church. And we cannot do the things that God expects of us. I've tried and I've failed, and I'm sure you have too. And I said it from a couple of weeks ago on this stage. I said it where sometimes God wants us to quit trying so hard. I think God wants us to get on our face and say, I'm a failure, I'm judgmental, I'm treating people like garbage, I'm claiming I love you, I come and I sing songs to you, I tell you how much I love you, and then I get after church and conversations and this, and I begin to stick my knives in people's backs and talk about them. I have friendships that are fractured, but I'm going to come back again. And as if God is shaking us up and saying, First Baptist Church, Olton, people will know you love me, not because you come to church on Sunday mornings, but how you treat people out there. And that is the conviction of my soul this morning, because as I close this thing up, I just need you to hear my heart this morning. As Josh said in the children's sermon, these guidelines and these rules and these expectations that King Jesus gives for us, they are not for us to feel in bondage of fear and anxiety. It is to free us from saying, yes, as we are loved, we can love people. I don't want to pretend as though there are not people in our lives. I've got them, you've got them, that are hard to love. And anytime we talk about stuff like this, sometimes there's history. There's some of us that we live in Olton our whole lives. There's people that have relational things, familial things. All these things can happen. But here's what we can do. It's not about trying to justify the cause or other people or trying to get them to believe or agree with us. It's to step into this and say, you know what, hey, my job is not to sit back and say, you get right, then come to me. Because if I read the Bible right, while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. We don't need to wait till others get right or agree with us or become what we want them to do so that then we will extend love to them. But we do that. Can I just confess to you? I do that. I'm much willing to love somebody if they'll kind of start doing and acting and thinking and kind of agree and do those kind of things. It's a lot easier. But I darn sure want people to love me. We love because He loves us. I'm going to wrap this up for just a minute, and then I want us to pray, because I just feel like the Lord's telling me to kind of tie this up, and let's pray together as a church. But I referenced it earlier in John chapter 13 when Jesus is comforting His disciples, and He washes their feet. He tells them to trust in Him, to believe in Him. He talks about He's the way to the Father. He talks about all of these things. He predicted the denial. He predicted all these things. And I need you to hear this. He says, I give you this new command, to love one another as I've loved you. And so you must love one another. By this, men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Church, here's my heart this morning. I'm going to ask you this, just looking right at you. The bottom line of the whole thing is we can talk about love, we can talk about all these things. If the reputation of our church, hear me, if the reputation for you and I as individuals and collectively as a church, if Olton is going to know, if Olton is going to understand those who connect with God by how we live, the true answer to this question is, are they? are people in this community, are they knowing that I belong to Jesus by how I live out there, by how I talk, by how I speak? Because that is an indictment on the church. That is an indictment on us, on individuals. And here's what I want us to pray, because I want us to spend a few minutes, because my heart needs it, maybe your heart needs it as well. Based upon people's observation of your life, do they know you belong to the King? Do they know that you belong to Jesus? Do they know that you love Him? Do they know that you adore Him? Because I think that's the bottom line answer of the day. I'm going to ask you to bow where you're at for just a second. We're going to sing in just a minute, but more than anything, here's what I want you to do. I know there's a lot on your plate, maybe a lot on your mind probably this morning, but what will people say about you? What do people know about our church because of you? By this, men will know that you're one of my followers. By how we love people, Olton will know that we belong to Jesus. Would you pray? Would you confess? Would you open up your heart? Would you test your relationships, test your association, test whatever's in your life, and truly answer that question? If that is the hallmark and the barometer of how people are going to know we belong to Jesus, what do people see in us? You pray as the praise team is going to play a little bit, and then we're going to stand and sing. God, I just want to thank you for the day. As hard as it is, I thank you for the conviction that you've given me in my life this week, just preparing a sermon about loving people. And my prayer today is that for all of us who can hear my voice, be it online or in this room today, that we would test our relationships, test our lives, and do others see you in us? Does the love that we portray, does it point people to you? Do people know that we belong to you by how we love people? And God, if there's anybody else that may be like me, and there's areas where we fall short, I pray that we could confess that and not just try or pretend or fake it. May we throw our hands up and may we get on our faces and pray and say, God, I've got fractured relationships, I've got fractured family, I've got fractured work, school, whatever is going on in our life. We've got things that are not as they need to be because we're not willing to love. Father, would you begin something new today? And as we pray and as we sing, I pray that you would just work in us as we leave this place. And we ask in the great name of Jesus. Amen.